Hello, everybody. This is Jasmine.
And this is Michael.
And I'm the Walking Dead Girl. You're listening to Fear the Walking Dead Girl, episode 131. In this podcast, we review and discuss the TV show Fear the Walking Dead from AMC. In addition to reviewing the show, we play listener feedback. So join the conversation.
If you want to give us feedback on the show, you can send email to talkback@thewalkingdeadgirl.com. And also, you can go to our website, thewalkingdeadgirl.com/voicemail, to leave a voicemail feedback, and we might send you a Walking Dead Girl t-shirt. And you can also post a comment on our Facebook page, facebook.com/thewalkingdeadgirlpodcast. We routinely read feedback and comments on the show.
Before we get started, I want to remind you guys that we will be discussing every gory detail about the TV show, so obviously there will be spoilers. So make sure you've watched the current episode before listening.
So we've watched the first four episodes. Yeah, the second half of the third season. And
it feels like it's been a while though.
Yeah, it was been a while, and well, it's been a longer while for the original Walking Dead show.
Yes.
That's coming up soon, and we'll definitely do episode by episode podcast for that. But for Fear of the Walking Dead, we're doing four episodes, and then we're going to do another one with four episodes. And they're still on the ranch. Apparently, in this section.
Yeah, this whole season they were on the ranch, which is interesting. I mean, we still have four more episodes left, correct?
Yes, and so I guess the biggest I have a feeling.
Are we using that word?
I have a feeling that you are sad that one of your favorite characters is no longer longer living.
Yeah,
he's actually British. Did you know that?
I watched the background clips. I'm like, what the heck? Everybody on that show is British.
Yeah.
And they're all different kinds of Brits, too. All their accents are from different parts of England. So you can just tell.
Jake is gone.
Poor guy. But you know, you saw it coming, man.
Did you?
Did you see it? I saw it coming. I thought he was going to die when he was going to get scalped. Come on, Dad.
Right. But then they kept Troy. You know, they kept Troy and got rid of Jake.
Of course, they keep the terrible guy.
Yeah, because
he's a bad guy.
He causes conflict.
I wasn't even too worried about how Alicia felt because...
Really?
Well, Dad, everything came to a head. Like, he totally called her out on her BS, like saying, you just wanted to be around me for your benefit, for an alliance, not because you actually liked me.
Yeah, that scene was kind of sad, I guess, but...
She couldn't say anything because it was kind of true. I mean, I was waiting for her to fall in love with him, but she didn't.
So you're saying that she didn't really like him, didn't really love him?
Well, she liked him, sure, but she didn't love him.
Mm. Do you think a lot of her mother's stuff have rubbing off on her, like using people?
Well, Dad, we've seen that since like that boat episode with that guy who's like, but I thought we were going to run away. And she jumps off the boat. She's like, deuces.
as she takes a backflip off the diving board.
Yeah.
It's like, it does like a triple somersault turn.
Yeah, like an Olympic dive.
It's like, woohoo.
Later.
So yeah, so you think Alicia is not going to connect. There's no connection there, right?
No, I mean, I think that's her thing now. In every episode or every like section of every theme, wherever they stop, she's always going to latch onto one person and use them. I think it's a survival technique.
Mm-hmm.
It's a survival technique, as sad as it is, but it gets her far. Cause now she's like, by the end of the last four episodes, she's in charge of all these people. You saw that last shot where she's just like her big eyes. She's like, Oh man, I got all these people to take care of.
Really? That's what she was thinking? Or was she thinking, oh, the walkers are coming and they're going to kill me?
Oh, because they had to see what she, it was her face close up and then like a wide shot of the people, her face again, and then the wide shot of the people. It's not about the walkers out there. It's about her being stuck with these people that she has to lead now.
Oh my God, I have responsibilities. Well, I think a lot of this part of the show was a lot of moments of silence with people staring at each other.
Yeah.
Didn't you notice that?
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of staring at each other, like grimacing and stuff. Like, there's no dialogue anymore. Like, I don't understand what's going on.
You
with
don't need
people.
It, Dad. You just express it through face. I was really sad that Jake left. He was so, not only was he really attractive, but he was just such a good guy.
Kind of. They changed him a little bit towards the end to be not such a good guy. Like, for example,
what? No, he was just like, it's not like not such a good guy, but like he was just sitting around doing nothing because he felt powerless, right?
Well, he was all about the peace, right, between right. them and the Native Indians, and I think he saw it. He realized that it was going down the tubes. Then he was like, well, it's going down the tubes, so how about to Alicia say, hey, how about you and I just take off and go to this middle of nowhere and survive off killing rabbits, which he has this weird phobia against rabbits for some reason.
Gosh, yeah.
The skinned rabbit.
Yeah, he's like, oh, like rabbits scream like real people.
Well, I wonder if, I don't know if you made the connection, but I made the connection that maybe the person who killed the rabbits was Troy.
Oh, it was totally Troy.
It was still alive, and I put out of his misery. I think he was telling to Nick. And
yeah.
And I think Troy was the one in their childhood that was killing those rabbits.
Yeah,
I think so. And then Jake ended up finding them. But he used that as a metaphor, like, hey, just like you have to put out a rabbit, you have to kill Troy, because he's like a rabbit who has to be put out of his misery.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because this guy's crazy. I don't know. Still now, I don't really know what his objective was. And I still don't know where his... I don't...
There's so many flaws in this plot, the storyline. I don't know where to start. First of all, okay, we all know Troy is a lunatic. Like, he's really crazy. And multiple times, there was opportunities for somebody around him to kill him. And he was actually begging people to kill him. Like,
I know.
Take me out of my misery so many times.
Like, Madison, if anybody should have done it, it should have been Madison. She had the opportunity right when she exiled him.
You mean in this section, right? Yeah, but even before she had opportunity to kill him. Like, even in the previous season section, they had opportunities.
God, I know. Well, it's just because, like, there's a chance, there's hope for him. So hope for him. This guy's like crazy. He was born this way, man.
Well, he's a crazy guy. Well, he's the one who causes the conflict in the whole storyline. So you got to have some crazy guy.
But I think he's a great actor.
Well, he's good for the role he's playing. But the thing I'm just saying that
it's like his character shouldn't have been alive for as long as it as
right,
he was.
Right. And in the end, Jake was trying to do it, and then he didn't. He jumped. He hit him over the head. That was a stupid scene. At the very, very end, he's like pointing the gun at him. He's like, do it, okay. And then instead of doing it, he hits him over the head with a gun and starts fighting him. Like, okay. And then Jake ends up falling in the pit of walkers and then...
And then dying. So it's like, yeah. It's really Nick's fault for trying to... He's trying to save Jake from killing Troy, but then ends up killing Jake instead. So it's just like...
So many things I didn't like about this. I don't know. I liked certain things about these four episodes, and I hated certain things.
Well, I just didn't understand why they got involved in the first place into any of these business. It's like it's none of any of their business, but it's because they wanted to take over the whole ranch, and they effectively done that. They killed the father. They've made the brothers fight each other, and then Nick becomes like the head of the militia.
Well, reluctantly, the only reason. And the this whole big secret that's hovering over Nick's head about him, he's the one who killed Otto, right?
Right.
And he's keeping this a secret, not telling anyone.
Right.
This whole thing is driving me nuts. Like, okay, you're keeping the secret. There's ways that you can say it and spin it to as a positive. Like, okay, yeah, I killed him. So, you know, I mean.
I killed him because of this, this, and this, and now we need a change.
Yeah, he was not a good leader and he was against everyone. He wanted us to go down in flames.
Right.
So, yeah, I killed him, but let's start fresh, and I'm the new leader. So, yeah, he's just keeping that secret, and every time he talks to someone, he has to change his words like that to avoid revealing his secret. You know?
Yeah, especially like in the what was it? The diviner, right? Is it where are they fighting? Are they fighting in the first one? Right?
You're talking about when they're in the hold up in the house.
Yeah.
And then that's when Nick reveals it. At the very end of the standoff.
Yeah. And it's kind of like, because the whole time he's like, don't like let a sacrifice be all for nothing. And like stuff that Nick wouldn't really say. And then that's why Troy called him out. It's like, why do you care?
Yeah, why are you such a, a good person about all this stuff. Like, why you... Yeah, and plus, that part there, that scene, there was just too much dialogue. Because, like, they were...
What, the fighting?
Yeah, because they were shooting at them, and Troy was shooting back. It's basically your adrenaline's running. You're trying to shoot and protect yourself, and then they're having this huge argument.
Well, it's because, like, the whole time, Nick is trying to reveal... is trying to get him to stop.
Yeah, I just thought it was too much.
Yeah, and I was just like, okay, well... When are we gonna? I just knew he was gonna say it, something, but I wasn't surprised that Troy didn't like say, "You killed my father." What? But I was surprised that Jake was like, "Oh, I don't care," when he told him
at the very end. Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like his plot line had like completed.
It's like, I don't care what he did. I guess at that point Jake was full of rage against his brother, and didn't. I mean, really...
Yeah, the ranch was taken down.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think my favorite scene out of this whole all four episodes is where Alicia and Nick are talking to each other about saying, like, how Alicia said, well, you're always, it must be hard to be mom's favorite, and saying, like, you did it, you killed Otto to earn the love of our mom, and that we have to accept that she'll never love us. I was like, whoa. I was like, where did this come from? That was out of left field. But it was kind of true, I guess, if that's what they feel.
Yeah, I mean, that I was going to say the same thing, actually, is throughout all of this dialogue and all the plot lines and all the things, the only time I was, like, riveted watching the screen was when Alicia and Nick were talking to each other.
Yeah.
Because what they were saying was always important. It felt important, and it was deep. Like, it was revealing some background and some stuff.
Yeah, some underlying truth to what was happening for the overall picture. Like, yeah, they're all trying to get the ranch under the control, but what's the real reason behind all of their motives, you know?
Yeah, and those are the only times in these four episodes where I was actually glued to the screen.
Right, yeah.
Other than that, everything was kind of like background. And also... The whole storyline was telegraphed from a mile away. Like, I could see, everything was predictable.
Yeah.
Except maybe Jake's death. Maybe I'm kind of blind to that. But overall, like, you know, hey, Madison finds out that they don't have water. Ooh, I know who has water. The damn people. Oh, okay. I wonder where they're going next.
It's a cheap way to get everybody to the same spot, because they found Daniel and they found Strand, right?
Yeah, like that whole thing about them going to the dam, like, I could see that like a mile away. It was like, okay, that's what's gonna happen,
right? Another scene that I really liked is when Daniel finds out through Taka that Ophelia is a killer now.
Oh yeah, that was that. It seemed like it affected Daniel, huh?
Yeah, because it's like, that's why Ophelia hated Daniel so much, is because he revealed himself, his true self, and the reason why he had never told her, because he never wanted her to become like him, mm-hmm. you know, or at least hate him. And now she's killing people for a group of strangers, and he's just like, damn. Like, but then at the end, but he suckered out and said, Ophelia's still my daughter, no matter what that man made her do.
Well, because it just shows that Daniel has changed a little bit. He's not like the ruthless. I think he has a bit more emotion now than he had in
It's too late, because I think everybody at the dam think he's just this killer.
Yeah. Well, when you shoot first,
Yeah.
But yeah, exactly. The thing is, I truly think that Daniel is disappointed in the outcome of Ophelia, because, like you said, I agree. He always wanted to protect her from that violence, right?
Right.
That's his whole life. He was like keeping everything a secret, protecting her of the truth, and like.
But then he quote unquote died, and what Madison said was true. Like, Ophelia needs her father.
Well, Madison would say that.
Yeah. Well, true. But
she's kind of person.
She does, though, because I think his death affected her. I mean, it'll affect anybody if anybody's dad died.
Do you think? Affected her, like, and made her like this.
Yeah, because I think she never got the answer she needed.
But of course, we all know that Daniel doesn't know, but we know that Ophelia, true deep down, didn't really mean to kill people. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, yeah. But Taka is the one person that's going to like make it sound like she did.
I don't like Taka. I still don't like him. I'm sorry. I just...
He's full of crap.
Well, first of all, what do you feel about... Okay, at one point at the beginning, he said, yeah, let's all work together. You know, this is... We have to work together and, you know, let's put our differences aside, yada, yada. Okay, fine. One little minor thing happens. Boom, that's it. Our people versus you. Give us the guns. Boom.
It's like, really? It's like, okay, now we're in charge. You're on our land. So blah, blah, blah. I'm like, how long are we going to hold this grudge? Okay. It's the freaking apocalypse. Everyone's land is no one's land. Okay.
And I still don't understand what agreement was taking place. Like, what is this agreement?
I felt like I missed an episode. I actually went back and started watching the previous one because I'm like, did I miss something? Why is there, I feel like this is a giant hole? But it's just that, I think the agreement was, oh, you get to come back on our land because they all moved in with them because we can't survive on ours.
Well, the main thing was Otto died, right? So that...
Yeah.
Like, so. we killed the last person that was on your list, which is Otto. Right, so yeah. Now we have peace or something.
But now you get to move in with us and... Okay.
I don't know. I mean, I can understand how on both sides there's things happening like, oh, the quote-unquote white people were accusing the quote-unquote Indian people of double dipping. You put your whole mouth in the dip. you're double dipping. So, and it's like, no, we're not double dipping. And all that, like, you knew that was...
Yeah, it's like, I didn't like the standoff that they had. It was like, Alicia came up to Ophelia and that dog that's guarding Ophelia for some reason. I don't know if they're hooking up or whatever, but he's like attached to her. And like, she's saying, can you tell your people not to be double dipping? And she's like, your people are double dipping. What? Okay. It's like, oh my God, is this like high school or something? Mean Girls? And I'm like, Ophelia, and that pissed me off. For some reason, I was like, I felt anger because I'm like, why is Ophelia being such a traitor right now? I don't understand why she's being so against Alicia and her family. It's like, well, how did she switch sides? Okay, yeah, they saved your life, but you see Madison going and save Strand, and Strand didn't do anything for them, but they just stick together.
Yeah, well, I think deep down Ophelia, I saw this in the videos, the follow-up videos or the behind the scenes, they said that Ophelia deep down wants to connect back with Alicia, but she can't because there's this thing cloud over them about, because Ophelia did that evil thing where she poisoned people, right?
And she almost killed Nick.
Yeah. So that's the thing that's clouding their relationship right now, which is a big thing. But on the other hand, if it's true that Ophelia didn't really know what she was doing, then she's just like a vessel for the evil. Right. She wasn't the actual evil, you know what I'm saying?
Right. But then she tried to run when she realized what she did. She didn't look good. So
my favorite part of the whole thing was the whole, what was that place? The bazaar? The trading post? I thought that was cool.
Of course, cool. I knew you would like that. I knew
that was your cool. It reminded me of
Star Wars, right?
Yeah, Star Wars or Mad Max or something where people are gathering in one place and there's they show people getting tattoos and there's some guy trading up high with a motorcycle auctioning off some motorcycle. Like, what the heck? What is going on here?
Yeah, exactly.
So we're in the middle of nowhere. We can't survive, but there's this huge congregation of people with a thriving economy.
Yeah, it's like, oh, hey, that long-range radio would buy 2 days to bazaar. It's like, okay.
Like, what is going on here? Like, who is managing this thing? How is it organized? How are these people able to come together? And
I like how they didn't tell us anything about the origins of the bazaar.
It just exists.
It just exists. We don't know the leaders. And that's interesting for the show, because usually The Walking Dead and the Fear of the Walking Dead will have our characters interact with the main people of a place.
Yeah.
But we barely even touched upon that lady that was supposed to trade the water for the bullets for. Like, barely. We even see the interaction.
Well, we saw a little bit yeah, I can get you half of the water, blah, blah. And then after when Strand got punished, he was supposed to pay off his thing. Madison, she goes, I forgot what the leader's name was. I said, oh, the leader has declared that, you know, these people need to be punished. And then Madison, of course, as always, like, who's the leader? Like, let me talk to him. I'll talk him.
Right. And they're like, no, you can't do that.
So,
shut her down.
Sorry, our storyline doesn't go that far.
Our storyline ends here.
We haven't written that part of the script yet.
Actually, our leader hasn't been casted yet, so.
I liked
those cowboys that were all dressed in all black that were like in control of who gets to be in the front to pay off the debts.
Yeah, so
it kind of reminded me of Westworld a little bit.
Yeah, so there's some interesting, and I wouldn't be surprised if they go back there and revisit that, because they probably spent a lot of money setting up that bazaar, so they're probably going to use it again.
I know. I think they painted it, because I watched the behind the scenes, like they painted the bullfighting and the where they kept all the prisoners, and like they have all the tents set up and everything.
That was a bullfighting arena, wasn't it? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense. Now that makes sense of why that statue was out in the front there. That was an interesting sideline there, and it looks like we might go back there. So, I mean, I'm hoping that we go back there in the next four episodes. So, overall, I'm kind of happy a little bit with kind of the direction, but some of the motivation of the characters is kind of weak, and some of the interactions were kind of weak.
Wishy-washy, yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't convinced 100%. And like, there's a lot of plot holes. Like, why is this woman in the den, the water queen or whatever they call her?
Lola?
Yeah, distributing water to people that are so ungrateful. Like, she's not even charging them anything, right? And yeah, it's the, like, people are complaining. Why are they complaining?
Out of her way to do that. Like, why does she feel the need to, like, be this white knight and, like, give them water? And she's like, well, they'll thank us eventually. And then, like, Daniel's like, yeah, some of them will, but some of them will never forgive you, will never thank you, and they'll actually come after you and kill you because people are greedy. And like, and then they have on the other shoulder, this guy who's just like, release the water for the world.
Release the Kraken.
You know, it's like, well, let God decide. And then Daniel's like, the water's going to evaporate, dude. And then we're all going to be screwed.
Well, the thing I don't understand is they're delivering the water, right? So they're doing like something out of the kindness of their hearts, and these people are hitting them with rocks and fighting them. Why? Like, instead of saying, oh, thank you for giving us water, you know, if it wasn't for you, blah, blah. But they're angry. I guess they're angry because they're rationing it.
Rationing it, yeah.
And they want it all. They want all the water, I guess, instead of just a little truck every time. I don't know. It seems like there's a lot of resources that this woman and her crew are putting together for, I mean, it's a selfless act, but I'm just like,
it
doesn't feel real. Like, it doesn't feel like someone would actually do this in real life. Like, who would actually do this in the apocalypse, right? Everyone's out for themselves.
Think about it, though. We're still really early in the apocalypse, which I keep forgetting. So that's why the bazaar exists. That's why people like Lola, who wants to give the water, exist, because they're still living in the mindset of, like, pre-apocalypse, you know? The bazaar is kind of a place where you could exchange goods and stuff, and there's some kind of like free trade, which is like something that could survive in the apocalypse. But like, Lola giving all that water is not something that would survive at all. Like, maybe for the first couple of weeks of the, because, you know, like,
it's going down,
you know? But it's not going to be sustainable, because people are greedy. People are selfish when they're scared. You know, they do things they don't want to when they're scared. And if you're rationing water and they need it and they don't know when it's going to come again, you know, they're of course they're going to be like, just give us the truck.
Yeah. And I think Daniel is 100% right that they need weapons, because they have no weapons. I mean, of course, when the villagers riot, they couldn't come there. Like, how are you going to defend yourself?
Yeah.
So you want to do this thing, you got to defend yourself. And there was a moment where Madison and Lola were talking, and Lola says, oh, you know, I got to please everyone. And Madison says, you can't, you know, you can't make everyone happy. And that's one leader to another, you know what I'm saying?
It's never going to get done, yeah.
Because that's what Madison's feeling like, you know, you got to make sacrifices. You got to make some people, you got to kill some people.
Yeah, you got to kill, you got to take some names.
As Madison has done. Let's go a little bit deeper into each episode. The first episode that we watched was called Minotaur. And they showed a little bit about, I mean, they showed in this episode, Jake was sick in the beginning, but for some reason that plot line didn't go anywhere.
I think they explained saying that like he had gotten sick from people. What was the thing that anthrax?
Anthrax. Like,
you could get sick from helping people with anthrax.
Yeah. So they talked about it. He was sick, but he became better, and that was not an issue. I guess it was just a reason for Madison and Alicia to talk about it or something. I don't know.
Yeah, and be honest about what's really going on, because Madison did like mention something to Alicia about.
Well, I think Alicia realized that the BS about, you know, Otto killing himself. The disappointing thing is that Madison didn't tell Alicia the truth. I think she should have told her the truth.
As if she couldn't handle it or something.
Yeah, she should have told her the truth, because she found out obviously later.
Yeah.
Troy and Nick are working together. They become buddies. And I think how it's alluded throughout this series that Nick now feels guilty that he killed Troy's father. And he has to, you know, make up
live
for
it. Live with
it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we have the usual, you know, Troy doesn't like the deal with the Native Indians. Troy says to Nick, hey, they buried my father. It wasn't an open casket. It was a closed casket.
Why do they talk? Is that just to further convince us that Troy's weird? Yeah, we get it. He's crazy.
No, it's to tell us that, oh, they didn't have an open casket because he would have saw the bullet wound in his forehead. And then he would have realized that, oh, he didn't kill himself. Because when someone kills himself, they don't put a bullet in their forehead.
Well, I don't think.
Yeah.
I don't think the Nick's dad or Troy's dad.
Troy's dad, yeah. Oh, because
well, they know they killed him.
I know, but Troy doesn't know at that point.
Oh,
he didn't know at that point, so he's like, "Oh, yeah, my father."
No, they saw the body when he killed. They saw him when he died.
Not Troy.
But Jake did.
I don't know. It made it sound like. Madison and Nick. Oh, I know why it has it. Because they took the head and they gave it to they chopped the head off. Remember, and they gave it to Walker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he got buried with no head.
Well, yeah, he got buried with no head, but they all saw him die because he had the gun in his hand. Technically, whatever they made it look like a crime scene, but I think it was Troy that was asking Nick, "Oh, did your dad have an open casket one after the car accident?"
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why he was asking him that. I think it was just because he wanted to see what it looked like.
Yeah, because he's weird. Troy's weird.
Yeah. And then there's a scene where Ophelia and Nick are talking about feeling guilty about the stuff they did. And obviously Ophelia doesn't know that Nick killed Otto, but they kind of relate to each other because they both carry this guilt.
And she says, you know, we're kind of the same. And of course, Nick doesn't. Oh, okay, I guess she's talking in vague terms because she doesn't really know that Nick killed Otto.
Right, no. But yeah. She can tell that she's guilty about something.
Yeah, but
obviously Ophelia feels guilty for killing people, poisoning them.
Yeah, but she doesn't know about Nick, but Nick does, and that's what he's thinking, like, oh, so why are you having this conversation? Because do you know that I did it or not?
Right.
But yeah, so again, I just don't like, I hate when the stories have like these secrets and then people are supposed to, you know, pretend to keep them secret and blah, blah, and it's hard, it's hard for them. And I know it's like screenwriting 101 that you got to have this conflict and mystery
that
and tension.
Knows except for yeah.
But I don't know. It gets annoying.
But yeah, Troy is still like you have here. Troy's still pushing the story that Walker killed Gretchen, and Gretchen is that girl who was part of the family that tried to leave.
Yeah.
And then Troy killed them all.
Yeah, and the reason why he's pushing this is because there's this kid, this new character that just shows up for 5 minutes.
He was part of the Bible sessions.
Oh,
Bible
he was?
Study.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
His name is Terrence, and he decides, after listening to all of this stuff that Troy has been spewing, it's like, oh, I need to do something. So he has a gun. He gets a gun from somewhere, and he starts, and does he kill someone, or he...
He shoots someone.
He tries to shoot someone, and that person gets injured. And at the end, Terrence dies.
I don't even know if he actually died. They didn't show him dying, but they're like, he's going to die from his asphyxiation.
Because when the guy choked him, he broke, like, maybe he broke or injured his throat somehow.
Yeah, so he ended up dying anyway.
Couldn't breathe. He died off camera.
died off camera. He wasn't even big enough to get an on-camera death. If you die like a normal person, you die off camera.
And then I guess he turned into a walker, so they had to put him down. Shoot a bullet in his head. And then, yeah, so poor Terrence, you know, got strangled. Nothing happened with him.
He was brainwashed. He's brainwashed by Troy.
By Troy, yeah. And then we have the big scene where Troy is locked up in his house because they come to get... Well, because of Terrence, thanks a lot, Terrence, they said, okay, we got to collect all the guns now.
Yeah. Give me the second key, you know? And then that's where Jake is put into a corner because now Jake obviously has no power because even Alicia is like, do it. And then he's like, oh, fine. And then...
So what did you think about that scene where Jake and Madison are talking to Walker and saying about the two keys, give me the key. And then Madison tells Jake, okay, give him the key. Like I think they gave in too easily to this whole thing. What do you think?
I think like Madison was on the side of the nation the whole time and did not give a crap about the brothers and the ranch people. And I thought that was kind of backwards. I'm like, well, geez, okay, I get the nation people had been disenfranchised for a while, but if you give up all the power, it's like you're not really working. You're kind of just gonna be prisoners in your own home.
Like, how does it doesn't make sense.
How does that help anything? You're giving all the power to the people who feel the most vengeful, you know?
Well, and plus, for some reason, suddenly the nation people, as you put it, they're the good guys. And they're the peacemakers, and the other people are not. I think both are equally, you know, have tendencies for fighting.
Yeah, they both. It's not like the nation people haven't done anything bad. They poisoned the whole camp.
Yeah, so I'm just saying, like, why are they all of a sudden on high moral ground, right?
Yeah,
like we have to give them
we have to give the keys to the adults now. Like the little kids can't mess around with the guns. We have to take responsibility for it because we know better. I'm like, how do you, how do you figure that? Like, I don't.
Yeah, the logic of why they should have the guns and the others should not didn't make sense. Just because of one incident of one kid who was behaving irrational.
Because he's like, well, is everybody on board with this? And then Jake's like, they will be. And it's like, you can't control people and you have to treat everyone as an individual.
Yeah,
as a collective.
Yeah, so they're trapped in there, and of course, things get out of hand, and then Nick reveals the truth about Otto's death, and then after that, nothing happened. Someone busted through the door, I guess, and took Troy, because Troy was just stunned by the truth being revealed.
Well, I think he wasn't stunned. He was just like, well, because I watched the behind the scenes. They're like, the reason why Troy was fighting is because he didn't want to give up like his dad did. He said, that's dishonorable. If I have to keep the family name honorable, it's like, I will go out guns blazing the way my father should have. And then once he realized, oh, your father didn't kill himself, I did. He's like, oh, okay. Well, it kind of loses steam for his motivation to have a last stand kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. The kids that knew their father, right? Mm-hmm. They knew what kind of person he was.
And, which is why I think they both weren't that upset as they should have been when Nick killed him. They're like, I mean, that doesn't change anything. He's still dead and he was still an asshole. So,
yeah. Well, what I mean is, they knew who he was. So that like the fact that they said, oh yeah, he sacrificed himself, blah, blah. I don't think they really bought it. Like deep down, I don't think they really believed it.
Yeah.
Like it just felt weird to them. And maybe that's why they were like, what? Like, our dad was an asshole. He didn't care about anybody.
Yeah.
He didn't care about all this stuff.
He literally said, he's like, well, I don't care about all of you guys. I'm going to stay here and blah, 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 blah. Like, before he died.
Like, it was kind of something that was out of character. So they were like, okay, well, Like, I think they were just figuring out how to process it.
Yeah.
And that's why they were doing these weird things. Like, well, it's... You expect me to, like, just because my dad did this, I'm supposed to, like, now accept, like, he's been training us all our life not to accept it, and now you're saying he all of a sudden told us to accept this? I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
So the fact that Nick shot him is actually kind of a relief, because it's like, okay, well, then that means that our father was truly, till the end, you know, that person who he was, you know?
Right, there was no secret side of him that we didn't know.
Yeah. Okay, what else did we have in this episode?
Yeah, Troy said something multiple times. He said, "I'm so tired."
Yeah, because he wanted to die. That was a sign. That was a signal to whoever he was talking to. Like, okay, kill me now. I'm done.
Like, I'm so tired of trying. So tired of living and living with this guilt of whatever.
But as typical Walking Dead fashion, you can't have what you want. People will fight to keep you alive. Because you're not supposed to give up. You're not supposed to give up on this show. You're not supposed to give up on life, because that's bad. That's against human nature. So everyone around you is going to convince you that life is great.
Even if you're a crappy person who killed so many people.
Yes, you deserve to live. I don't know. Well, sometimes, not always. That's not always the case. But for some reason, for Troy, they want him to live. I guess because they don't have any evil characters. Like, he's the only evil character, right? Because they killed Otto.
Yeah.
So all they got is Troy left now.
I mean, I think Walker is pretty bad.
You think so?
Well, I don't like him. He's like wishy-washy. He just wants power.
He's not the angel he claims to be.
No, not at all.
When Troy said, "I want Madison to come with me to the exile," I knew exactly what was going to happen. Why do you want Madison?
Because you know Madison's not going to kill you. Either Madison's going to kill you or let you go. Madison promises, like, "Well, I want you with me, blah, 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 blah." And that's all the reason why he almost did not go going with the last stand. Because Madison's like, "No, we want to protect you. I want to protect you like I want to protect my son."
No, I think Troy knows exactly who Madison is now. He sees through all the BS now.
He sees her for who she really is. Because, like, when he took down that guy in the truck and was just like, "Madison, I thought you were going to be stronger than that. Why aren't you killing me when you had to? Or it's all a lie."
Yeah, the reason Madison couldn't kill Troy was because, I think, maybe, that she sees him as her son, kind of. And it's like that motherly thing, right? Like, okay, well, he's just a poor soul who doesn't know any better. Otherwise, I can't see other reason why she wouldn't kill him. Like, that was the perfect opportunity. Not only did she not kill him, but she got another person killed.
Yeah.
One less Native Indian.
It's like, really? Are you kidding me? Like, do they not care about anybody else except for themselves? They claim to want to protect all these people, but everyone's dying left and right, and they're just like, oh, damn.
And what did Walker...
Susan.
What did Walker think of... Oh, okay. Another one of our guys died, and you let Troy live.
Well, I'm pretty sure that he was injured and didn't die. Because if he died, then it'd be a bigger problem. I think he was just knocked out.
No, he's dead.
I like to kill him. Oh,
killed him. And then, so what did Walker think? Oh, okay. You let Troy walk away by killing one of our people. Okay, great.
Too many holes.
Please stop.
You're all stressed.
I'm stressed.
Yeah, but the next episode is Nick is being punished by being in the metal box outhouse looking style thing.
When Nick hallucinates and sees Troy, did you think it was real?
Yeah, I thought it was actually Troy. and then he ended up coming back anyway. So
in a different way, but yeah, he did come back. And it kind of revealed the truth about Nick's feelings, because Troy said, "Oh, you know, what's the magic word?" And Nick says, in his dream, he says, "Oh, I owe you.
I owe you my life," or something.
Like, really, you owe him? Like, that's how he really feels.
Best buddies. They relate to each other. They do. Madison relates to Troy because he sees her son. Nick relates to Troy because he sees himself. You know, that's why they can't get rid of him, because they feel like, because they're already a broken family and they just want misery likes company.
Yeah.
But this is where we have Madison explain the water situation, and they lie to everyone saying they
again. Another lie. Madison's good with those lies, man.
And then Alicia confronts her, is like, "Mom, lying isn't useful." Like, come at her with the same kind of thing that Madison said to her. And
Madison loves those lies and stuff. Like, she just feels
she doesn't really think about it too. She just does it.
It's like, yeah, we can't tell them the truth. No. They can't handle it. That's what she does with her kids, man.
Yeah. So then they have to go, and they have a water truck, apparently, and they go to a camp they heard of.
They go to the bazaar. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Nick comes out of the box.
Yeah. Nick's in the box, Nick's out of the box. And then they have this throwaway scene of Walker and Madison talking around a fire. And Walker says to Madison, oh, you got to let your kids go, blah, blah. And like Madison's thinking, okay, here's yet another guy, another person who's telling me I need to let my kids be themselves, blah, blah, blah.
Wow, that story is so inspirational. Thank you.
It's like, do you have kids? No. It's like, I had a dog that bit me once because I tried to stop him in a fight. It's like, wow, okay, that makes complete... Now I'm totally convinced.
Like, wow, that really changes my perspective on everything. Thank you for talking about your dog, Taka, nation leader, like, whatever.
It was a complete throwaway scene. I didn't think they even needed that. They had added nothing to the story, but whatever.
Yeah, it just proved that Madison doesn't give a crap about what anybody else thinks. She's going to protect her children, which I thought... I got kind of confused, because then I was like, okay, so Alicia and Nick think that Madison doesn't love them. But Madison claims that all she ever does is to protect her children.
Well,
so
Alicia said to Nick, said, oh, she's lost. She's gone or something like that, right? Like, mom's gone. She's lost.
She's crazy. It's like, she's nuts now.
Yeah, don't even bother trying to have a relationship thing. Like, trying to figure... Basically, don't even bother trying to figure out the whole relationship between you and mom, because, like, she's gone and, like, on a whole other level.
She probably doesn't even. Yeah,
like she's on autopilot now. Madison is on autopilot.
It's interesting because when she talks to Strand, and Strand's like, "What do you want, Madison?" He's like, "I haven't thought about." She said, "I haven't thought about what I wanted since before they were born." And it's kind of like I'm getting these two messages, like she really does love them, but
which as a parent, I can kind of relate a little bit, because when you have kids, it's hard to explain. Like, it's true what Madison's saying. Well, if you don't have kids, then like when you have kids, then we can talk, kind of thing. Because it's not just the concept of you have this person there. It's like, cause you bring them up from babies and they grow. So your whole life is revolving around these other people. Right. Mm-hmm. And you're doing everything you can because you're responsible for everything for them. Mm-hmm. Right. So when you're in that mode, your psychology changes. And then to just say, okay, now they're not there anymore. It's like you're ripping a part of your life away from you. That it's like someone died. Mm-hmm. Someone dies when you do that. So I can understand why Madison, it's hard for her to turn that switch off. It's hard for her to switch off that thing and say, okay.
Like, I need to provide for my children.
Yeah, the apocalypse is now. This is a different situation. My kids can fend for themselves and they make their own decisions, and they, you know, it just happened like that, like really sharp, like someone just pulled the plug, right? Mm-hmm. And Madison hasn't switched off yet. She's still in that mode. And I think the show is slowly trying to do that with her, like slowly pull her away. And maybe this relationship with Strand is kind of going to help, because it mm-hmm. maybe she's going to see something in Strand where they have a relationship where she doesn't need to be around the kids all the time, you know?
Yeah. maybe she'll latch onto
something Strand. Else.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, and like, I thought that there was a moment there where Strand was holding her hands.
Like, he's gay, Dad.
I know. But still.
It's purely out of like support and caring, because they've been through stuff together.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be great friends. They've always had this connection because they've always had this connection.
Yeah. And that's why she saved him, because she realized that, you know, Strand is a lot of bad things, but he's also has a lot of smart things. Like, he knows a lot of stuff. Like, he's sneaky, you know, like that. Like, if he knows, we can use this guy. He can help us find water. I'm sure if he does know, he'll help us.
And he does, because he knows the dam.
Strand will deceive you and trick you if he thinks that you don't know who he really is.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't know who he really is, then he'll deceive you. He'll do whatever he can. But
to get what he wants from you.
If you're close to him, like you know him and he knows you like friends, he won't deceive you, because he realizes that he can't, because you know right through him, right? Just like Daniel, and Daniel says you're a snake.
Yeah.
So...
he prove it to you, you know?
That's how Strand works. If you're a stranger and you're easily be deceived, he'll walk all over you. But if you're someone close like Madison, no, he wouldn't do that to her, right?
Because she could see right through him.
Exactly. If you could see right through him, he's like, okay, I can't use my tricks on you. I can't use my Jedi mind tricks on you.
Right. And he also said that he wants to change. He wants to stop disappointing his friends because she asked him, like, what do you want? He's like, stop disappointing my friends.
Yeah, that's revealing too. Also, Strand reminds me of like Han Solo from Star Wars. Like, yeah, Han Solo is always like
the lovable guy that
always getting in trouble.
Out for himself. Yeah.
Always getting in trouble. Trying to, you know, swindle someone out of money or something. A bad deal, a deal gone bad or something. Uh-huh. And he's like running away from them. So it's kind of like the same thing. I digress though.
Nick and the militia are more like the militia wants to take over the camp again. And Nick is their kind of headmaster. And Nick now has to be very careful and tread carefully to, because now he has all this power, but he doesn't want to ruin things. Because he really doesn't play for any side.
Nick is trying to calm the situation. He's using all every excuse in the book, like, we have no guns. Sorry, guys. Can't do anything. No guns. And it's like, right, okay, so exactly. Here's a gun. Like, oh, damn.
Like, we knew you'd say something like that. You're like, oh, damn.
Crap.
Then they finally plan something, and they go to where the leader of the militia's house is. Then we have, like, a silver lining, because Nick sees Alicia digging for water with the nation people, and he's like, puts his gun down. He's like, we have to help them. Well, I didn't say that, but that's like what he's suggesting. And then the guy's like, there's no point. There's no water. And then they all come out of their house and help each other because the water situation is what binds them all.
Which later on in the next episodes, we find out that there was
no water there.
That hole was for nothing.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying, man. There's no, like, resolution to a lot of these ideas. It's like they come up with it and then they give up.
Well, then Ophelia says, well, there was no water, but at least we dug the hole together. And isn't being together what it's all about?
Like, what is this, reading Rainbow? Like, come on.
Well, yeah, kind of being together, I guess, is good, but we still need water.
He's like, yeah, but we're still thirsty, man. We're still going to die.
Well, there was one joke I made a note of it, and I thought it was funny. It was the only joke in all four episodes, because this whole show is like so friggin' serious. Where Strand says, because they're in that bazaar, and then Taka leaves, and then Madison goes to Strand, where's Taka? And then Strand says, Taka is not a talker.
Taka's not a talker. I love that.
That was like the only joke of the whole show, so I had to make a note of it because that's so funny. Well, Taka is not a talker.
Taka's not a talker. Yeah, Strand's so funny, man. He's just himself. He has no one else to be, man.
Yeah. So La Serpiente, which is basically
La Serpentine.
Oh, I thought La Serpiente. I think that's the proper
La Serpentine. Oh man, take a poll. Take a poll.
Serpentine is like a English version of Spanish. It's basically Daniel. That's what Daniel called Strand, which is a snake. This is another good scene, which I liked, kind of, which is when they were in the sewers.
Yeah.
So so Strand and crew end up in the sewers. Strand did a neat trick where he had like a little beeping thing, which I think was a car alarm thing, where he threw it and it attracted the walkers, which was kind of cool.
But they all spoke too soon because they're all like, yeah, we get this. And then they got distracted again and then they had to like rush. So I don't know why they're like, yeah, we're so smart. I'm like, no, don't laugh before you're out of there.
They didn't cut it well, that scene, because the first time they showed the freeway, there was like cars as far as the eye could see, right? They're like, what did you get us into? How can we cross these cars? And then there's walkers, and then there's just a little bunch of walkers. They move on the side, and then they just have to drive through two cars, and then that's it.
And then the rest of the road is clear?
Yes.
I'm like, okay, sure, yeah, so it was why
bad
not?
Editing, some bad editing there. Long story short, they ended up in the sewers. Yeah. And there was a scene where there's a walker, which was, wasn't it, didn't he look similar to the whale walker?
Yeah, 100%. Well, yeah, because he was waterlogged. He was totally waterlogged because they, I was sort of like, what the heck? How'd it go from 0 to 100 real quick? Because then all of a sudden, they're like chopping the head, and all of a sudden, it's like explosion, and then like blood and water gush, but they're not covered in blood and water when they come out. I'm like, that's so traumatizing. We need to see it on their face.
Yeah, like I had a feeling that the walker was blocking a whole bunch of water, right? And then when they pulled it out, it kind of released all the water, right? Or something? I don't
know. They cut it out and they didn't tell us. They just ended up at the end of the sewer.
Yeah, I hate when they do that. Like, let us enjoy the scene a little bit more. Like, show us.
Let's see them suffer. Like, I want to see them work through it.
Yeah. They finally come out of the sewers and they find Daniel. They see Daniel. Daniel's freaking out, like, what the heck's going on here? Mm-hmm. Where these people come from?
Then recognizes that, see Strand first. He's like, oh, you sneaky snake. And then he's like, no, I'm with him, Madison.
Well, because when Strand left, I think...
He left him.
They left on bad terms because he lied to Daniel about Ophelia and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And he remembers that.
And this time they still were saying... Isn't it nice how it all worked out? Oh, yeah. Strand's like, I don't know if we should go because he thought I knew where Ophelia was. And Madison's like, well, good luck. Today's your lucky day because I know where Ophelia is.
And then right after she says that, they see the eyeball on the wall that they were looking for.
Right. Like, okay.
Everything works out.
Sure.
Everything comes to those who wait.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, okay, great. So here's what we need. They don't even like get like cleaned up or anything. They're like, we need water. Can you make it work? And Daniel doesn't say anything, but it takes him to Lola. And then Lola's like, we have no more water to spare.
Yeah, that was kind of mean though. Like, why? Did you understand why she said no? Because like she doesn't want to help them or something.
Why doesn't she want to help them? I don't remember.
This was the lame excuse, but she says, well, if the villagers see that we're giving water to white people, Americans, they'll get fat. They'll get mad. And
it's not like they're not mad already.
If you watch a show and a reason comes up and then it doesn't like click with you right away, it's like, oh yeah, that makes sense.
It's like a fake conflict. Like, there's no conflict if your excuse doesn't hold. You know, it's like shows are supposed to create conflict, but. That doesn't make any
These
sense.
These people are already mad. They already think the worst of the water people. Like this, like they got the dam hostage. Then they're holding the water for them. They already think Daniel's an evil guy. They already think these water people like do whatever the hell they want anyway. Mm-hmm. So they're gonna be upset about them giving water to these white people. Like, okay, well, yeah, they do whatever they want already. So. How is that going to change the status quo? I don't know. Whatever. And even when they say, okay, we'll give you weapons and stuff. And she's like, no, I don't want the weapons. And then Daniel convinces her she needs weapons. Duh.
Because you need to protect herself from all the villagers that she's trying to save. Doing them more worse than good.
It just has to be a little bit of, you know, friction there. They can't just go there and get the water. It's like, yay, we got the water and leave. Like, okay. Strand kind of finds out that Daniel is... Because he... helps the chubby guy who has extra meat to spare as he put it.
His friend's like, I used to be a doctor in another life.
Yeah, right.
Okay, that's the same lie he said to all those people at the hotel.
Well, yeah, he was a doctor at the hotel, a fake doctor. Yeah, again, that scene didn't need to be there. I guess the only reason is so that other guy, I forgot his name now, but that's the guy who saved Daniel, right? The skinny guy.
Oh, I was like, why do I not recognize this guy?
He was the homeless guy.
Right.
Who helped Daniel.
Right. Because I'm like, why is he so against Daniel? I'm like, oh, well.
Well, he's kind of against Daniel, but he's more of like a free,
giving the water back
a free
to
spirit.
The
yeah. Like, you know, flower power kind of like, yeah, let's release and it's like, well, the water's going to disappear. And then he says, well, God is going to provide because it's going to rain again and it's going to replenish it, blah, blah. Like,
it's like, you can't, what? Hello? This doesn't solve the problem. It makes it worse. You just want to run away from the problem.
By the way, speaking of nature, you know when at the end when they showed the walkers, the horde?
Yeah.
They didn't show the horde first. They just showed a big cloud of dust.
Dust.
And I thought, oh, it's a sandstorm. It's like, You know what I mean? I thought, oh, a sandstorm is coming and it's going to take out, it's going to dry out, it's going to, you know, ruin everything. Like, it's going to, it's like a hurricane, whatever. A big wind. And it's going to blow everything away. Like, that's what Troy was talking about. Like, yeah, I guess a wind is kind of dangerous, but, you know. then it's like, oh, no. Okay, it's actually walkers.
Well, you didn't get that it was walkers when he fired the shot and you heard the walkers in the background?
No, I didn't hear anything.
Oh, I thought maybe I made that up, but I knew that.
I thought he just shot the gun because he realized that life is more important than
yeah, whatever, Dad. You're hoping on something that doesn't exist.
Yeah, I guess deep down I knew it was walkers and he shot it just to attract it. And I had a feeling that the show was going to go there. It's just kind of, again, things that have been used before in other episodes of other shows, like, oh, let's track the horde and make it come towards there and wipe out the camp. We see a lot of themes getting repeated, but I digress. Should we go through this episode? Because, like, at the end of the day, they convince him to give him water.
Yeah, it doesn't exactly.
I was like, okay.
we just have Takum leave for a bit. He's like, screw you, and then he's like all happy, like a freaking clam when they come up with the water truck. He's like, oh yeah,
do you need a ride?
Like, it's like, okay, God.
So I assume that the truck is gonna arrive just as all of the ranchers are locked up in the pantry.
I guess, but it's too late. It's gonna save them.
How are they gonna save them? It's only three people in a truck.
I don't know. Unless they release them out.
Maybe they release
water and drown them all.
Yeah, there you go. And they slip on the mud.
At this point, I wouldn't be surprised. They need anything they can do.
The only thing, I guess, the other thing to note in this episode is where the truck blows up, and Daniel immediately realizes that Hell Strand did it, and kind of goes along with the plan. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
He says, "See, I told you the people are gonna riot. They blew up the truck just to test us." Blah blah. So, but I think he knew deep down that it was Strand, and he even told Strand, he's like,
"If you do something that could benefit both of us, I'll look the other way." Like, wow, Daniel. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so the final episode that we saw was called Brother's Keeper, and it's all about the brothers, I guess.
We see the hobo life of Troy. Hobo Troy. I know. We have, like, cross-fading scenes of him, like carving something and looking and writing and, like, you know, just, like, going through a mental breakdown.
Yeah.
But he finds... So do you think when he went to that house and found the grenade gun that he knew it was going to be behind that thing?
Yeah, he knew, because that place was a like an outpost or something.
Helps those who help themselves, and he pulls back his grenade gun.
It was one of those outposts that they showed earlier in last season, where something went down there. But I think, yeah, it was a place where he hung out, and he's been there, so he kind of knew, and he was hoping, I guess, there was something there, and it was.
Yeah. He's grew up on this ranch. I think he knows where everything is. They couldn't drive him far enough for him not to come back. I knew he was coming back. Everyone knew it.
Yeah. And then Nick is surprised a little bit that Troy visited him. And then Troy tells him, hey, something amazing's coming, so you guys should come and see. I don't know what the point of that was, but...
Well, because he still kind of cares about Nick, I guess, and doesn't want him to die.
Yeah.
And...
Alicia and Jake.
But they don't put two and two together as fast as I thought they would. I mean, I guess that's fair because, like, we knew what was coming. But, but Alicia and Jake have it out. And I'm like, no. Okay, Dad, can I just say that I love Alicia's character and I love her acting. I don't know. Maybe it's because I resonate with her. Maybe because I feel like if that was in the apocalypse, I would be Alicia.
Yeah. She's become a better character than she was in the first season. The first season, she was really...
She's like, I want to go to college and run away from home.
Yeah, she didn't know what the hell. Like, it wasn't a good, didn't make, it was a horrible character. And even the second one, she was like, what's going on? What's going on?
Right,
She was always like, what's going on? Tell me.
She was always out of it. Remember how she said, like, she's like, I'm not upset that you guys killed him. I'm upset that I wasn't a part of it. Isn't that messed up? I was like, damn.
She wants to be a part of the stuff that's going down.
Yeah.
So she's a good character, and plus she's gorgeous. I mean, she's so beautiful.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, her eyes are huge. It's perfect.
Yeah, they have a lot of close-ups on her face. in this show. It ends up as we expected. They go off to find Troy. We already talked about this, that Troy is shooting the grenades to attract the walkers towards the camp, and that's the way they go. And during the fight, Jake gets bitten, and I was hoping that it would help that they cut his arm off, but I guess it didn't.
Well, because then it was too late, because the horde already got to the camp, so they couldn't save him. If they had gone to the camp and they could bandage him up, he would have been fine, but
I guess he bleeded out or something.
Yeah. That sucks. His death was so, like...
uneventful.
Not important. Like, he didn't have, like, any final words or anything.
And actually, even worse, he finds out that Nick shot his father at the last minute, and then he dies.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And then Troy says, well, it wasn't supposed to happen this way. You know.
I agree.
It wasn't supposed to. Troy was supposed to die and Jake was supposed to live.
Jake was supposed to live.
I agree totally. And then they're like, and you say, well, if they give you what you wanted, what you expected, then that wouldn't be a good story. But no, I like Jake. I want him to live. I'm sorry.
I know.
But the way they played it out with him and Alicia, it wasn't going anywhere. They kind of terminated it. It's like,
yeah, I knew he was going to die after that. I'm like, well, there's the end of that discussion. Cause she didn't deny it.
Yeah.
She's just like,
she wasn't that enthusiastic. Like, I do. What'd she say?
I cared
about you. I do care. It's like, I cared in the past and then I do care now.
It's like, I cared. I care. Damn it. You're right.
And then there's like a weird scene where Troy's there on his knees, Jake's dead, and then Nick is looking at the binoculars, looking back. It's like looking at Troy like, come on, kill yourself.
do it.
And that was like a weird scene, like, okay, nothing's happening. And then everyone's trapped in the pantry, and then we have to find out what happens next. I guess that's the cliffhanger moment.
And that's the end of that. Everything will work out.
As it always does.
At the end of the day, as long as...
Who do you think is the other character? I'm sure they're going to kill off another character.
I think Troy ultimately has to die, because there's no way they're going to join their group. Right? There's no way that Troy's going to join the group.
Yeah,
Troy exists only because of the ranch. And if the ranch is gone, Troy is gone. He's not going to leave. Even if they, for some grace of God, they're like, you know what? All's forgiven. Come with us and you'll live. And he'll be like, no, I want to die on the ranch.
They'll drive off and leave him alone.
Yeah, no, this is how he's going to die. He's going to get eaten by walkers.
Well, his brother's dead and all the guilt of that, right? Because, I mean, it's kind of his fault that his brother's dead. Not 100%, but he kind of made him come out there and they had the fight and blah, blah. And so I'm sure Troy is going to feel guilty that his brother's dead, because he was like the good brother and everything, and he was the bad one, and the good one died.
And so, it was really Troy that wanted to die.
So I can't see if Troy continues living and becomes like part of the team and just says, I'm a good guy now. I don't know.
That'll become a burden, dude.
That'll be lame. It would be kind of lame to see Troy change like that. Troy was meant to just...
It'll kind of be like Travis's son. What's his name? Where like he just goes deeper and deeper into death, or like into killer mode. And
he's a different kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But Troy, I think, I don't know. They have to get rid of him. They can't keep him
around.
I'm
still not over the fact that Travis's son died like that. You know, like, I did not expect him to die.
And it happened in a kind of flashback scene. It didn't even happen as a primary thing.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So are we watching this show because we like the characters, or are we watching it because we like the story?
I like the show because I like the characters. I realize that.
We like a few of them.
Because the only times I was really interested in what was happening was when Alicia or Nick were talking, and maybe Madison, or to each other, or...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still don't 100% like Madison, but whatever.
Ophelia's kind of like, ugh, get over yourself, girl. Like, okay, you're Native American. Okay.
Yeah. I like Strand. I like Nick still. I like Alicia a lot.
Mm-hmm. Strand's growing on me a lot. I really like Strand.
Yeah, because he's kind of finding his place.
Yeah, he's growing.
And I hope they go back to the bazaar and they kind of leave the ranch and they show us some kind of other area They have to, because I'm tired. I don't see any future in that ranch. Well, now that it's overrun, I mean, what's the point? Right. The only thing that's kind of saving them is the pantry, which apparently has lots of food and guns.
So
that's kind of, but they could use that to trade, right?
That's true. When everyone else is dead, because they're going to have a surplus of food.
I think they should take all that pantry stuff, put it on the buses, the RVs, and then drive to the bazaar and trade it.
What do they get traded for, though? Like, what do they have?
Instead of going to the bazaar, they should just go to the dam and, I don't know, like, we know this show. Like, there's nowhere you can live. You can't live anywhere. Forget about it. I give up.
Yeah. They're not going to give up for a long time, because it's still the beginning of the apocalypse.
Yeah.
If anything, the people on The Walking Dead should give up. They've been fighting longer.
I think they should just be roving band of people.
That's what we tried to do with the Abigail. Look how well that went.
Yeah, I don't know. I think if they could trade for fuel, then they can drive around and stuff. I don't know. They have a bunch of RVs. Who knows? We'll find out.
Yeah, we'll find out. I'm excited to see what the next... I don't mind seeing them jump from camp to camp, because you just further see how much these characters go into killer, you know, like Madison and Nick and Alicia, all how they change and stuff. Ophelia Strand and Daniel are all like side quests.
Yeah, the main characters, I think, are Alicia, Madison, and Nick.
I mean, that's the family we started with.
Man, it would be really sad if Alicia or Nick died.
If Alicia or Nick died, I'm out.
Really?
Yeah, no, I am. Because those are the only people that I relate to. I'm like, yeah. But I like this show. I after I finished watching those episodes, I was like, I think it's filmed really well. I think the acting is good. Sometimes the story has holes.
They need some more levity.
Yeah, but the characters have objectives, and it makes me feel something. So that's good.
Yeah.
There's still hope for the show.
There's always hope. That's all we grasp onto. So we have another podcast episode. We're going to talk about the next four episodes of the end of the season of Fear the Walking Dead. And then the main Walking Dead show, which is coming back, I believe,
October 22nd.
So we're going to be switching from Fear the Walking Dead to the main Walking Dead at that point. So
I haven't really kept up with the trailers. I saw only the first trailer that was revealed at Comic-Con, but I haven't really kept up with what's going on with
You saw that one? I haven't even seen that.
You haven't even seen that? Wow.
No, yeah. I've been sterile.
Yeah, because I was clean. Just trying to... Because I hate watching trailers to this show, because I'm so excited for it to come back, and I'm like, don't want to like obsess over it and think about like, oh, what is it going to mean? Look at theories and stuff. I kind of just want it to happen.
Yeah, at this point.
We've been waiting for so long.
Yes, me too. I'm in the same boat. Let's just do it.
Well, we've come to the end of the show. Thank you all for listening to this episode. If you like what you hear, please tell your friends and everyone you know. We love to get new subscribers. You can send email feedback to talkback@thewalkingdeadgirl.com. And as always, this is Jasmine.
And I'm Michael.
Stay alive.